new growth, new commerce, and how do we create sustainable jobs? And repeatedly, the issue is energy.
A Southeast-wide effort to solve energy and economic problems checks in with the Northern Lynn Canal. And commercial crab is safe to eat, but tests show the guts are still poisonous. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. The guts of Dungeness crab from the Chilkat Peninsula area are still toxic, according to the latest preliminary test results from the regulatory body that ensures commercial seafood is safe to eat. Robert Presley is the manager of the Department of Environmental Conservation's seafood program. He announced the not-yet-certified results soon after they came out late Thursday.
Most certainly, again, these tests indicate that still a high presence of PSP toxins in the crab viscera. So we'll be meeting next week to, I'll be meeting with my shellfish seafood coordinators and lab officials and fishing game, and we'll make some determination at that point on where we need to go.
The tests were the second round performed this year on dungies from the Haines area after DEC was surprised with results last month that showed levels of paralytic shellfish poisoning that could kill a person if they mistakenly ate crab viscera. As a result, restrictions on how commercial crab is processed will remain in place until levels of PSP return to safe levels. The toxin is naturally occurring and dependent on variables like tide and weather. It usually peaks in the summer's hottest months and also affects bivalves like mussels and cockles.
That area will remain closed or to whole cook, better way to put it, restricted to eviscerate only. No whole cook allowed until further notice.
However, the commercial crab season is quickly coming to a close, adding pressure on regulatory groups to hatch a plan.
We'll meet next week and make those determinations and take timely action resulting from those discussions.
Results of the latest tests are considered preliminary until a peer review conducts a standard double check and won't be finalized until Monday. However, commercial crab is still considered safe to eat since viscera are being removed before sale. Meanwhile, the Department of Health and Social Services, as well as DEC, continue to remind recreational harvesters of crab to clean Dungeness of its innards immediately and do not eat the viscera.
Our message is still the same to recreational harvesters. Considering these sample results continue to indicate high concentrations within the viscera, we continue to advise recreational, subsistence, traditional harvesters not to consume the viscera.
Energy experts say the answers to Southeast Alaska's energy needs are in the region's communities working together.
There's a lot of differences, but in many cases, these communities are very much the same. So there's an opportunity for all of us to learn from each other.
That's the idea behind the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan project. Creators of the plan, like Sea Alaska's Rick Harris, were in Haines late last month to consider energy needs in the Upper Lynn Canal and how that fits into a regional energy project.
Basically, this project is focused to address the current and emerging serious energy issues that have fallen upon the people of Southeast Alaska and that could affect the long-run economic development for the region.
It's an effort to create an action plan that'll help small municipalities address a number of creeping energy problems, says Jim Strandberg with the Alaska Energy Authority, particularly those that have serious economic impacts.
One of the external factors that have come upon all of Alaska, actually, including Southeast, is the very high cost of fossil fuel and the increasing volatility of the pricing and availability.
Strandberg is heading up the group that's putting this energy plan together, which considers villages and boroughs, large and small, from Metlakatla to Yakutat.
Heating fuel, for example, and indeed diesel fuel, is subject to new emission standards, making it more expensive in a rather unpredictable manner to determine just how much it's going to cost to do business here. And, of course, that strongly affects the economy.
Also on the team are representatives from local governments, utilities, Southeast Conference, planning consultants who completed a similar plan for South Central Alaska, and Sea Alaska Corporation. Harris is chairman of the project and executive vice president for Sea Alaska. He describes how the state created the group when they identified some problematic trends in the region. One is the competition among communities for energy dollars from the state, when a consolidated effort would really be more appealing to the governor's office and to regulatory agencies. The other is the strong correlation between energy and economy.
I think the Haynesboro, I was looking at the statistics from the Department of Labor, is looking at a 38% population loss projected between now and 2030. So it's very substantial. One of the things that we always look at is why don't we have new growth, new commerce, and how do we create sustainable jobs? And repeatedly the issue is energy. The cost of energy, whether it's for heating or whether it's electricity, and without those kinds of reliable, sustainable forms of energy, we're going to continue to struggle to build any kind of an economy. It's not the answer, the perfect answer, but it's part of the answer.
The plan they're working on is configured to deal with both urban and rural areas, with the idea that rising heating costs in rural communities, which may not have hydro, has a far-reaching effect. The group has to work to keep the plan relevant and useful to small communities, too, so that it doesn't end up in some plan graveyard, filed away with the other old dusty plans that never saw any action. So they're traveling to various Southeast towns to engage the actual users of Southeast Energy and talk about their commitments, experience, and particular needs of their towns. Again, Rick Harris.
We need to understand what our demand is, what our growth projections are going to be, and then to step back and say, okay, how do we meet those? And what the first effort was really to say, all ideas are good ideas.
Strandberg says they've been to Sitka, Ketchikan, Heidelberg, and other parts of Prince of Wales, Yakutat, Cake, and Haines, where they met with Chilkat Valley and Skagway government officials, energy experts, and residents.
What was important to us, I think, from the get-go, and you know, we brought, with the coordination and help of the governor's office, this group together, the advisory group, was to travel throughout Southeast and to really understand at a community level what the issues are. And that is what we are about.
The group is considering any technologies, including tidal energy, biomass, hydro, ground source geothermal, and looking at where they might or might not work. Nathan Soboloff is participating. He's the Renewable Energy Program Coordinator with Ha'ani at Sea Alaska, where they just eliminated the need for 35,000 gallons of heating oil annually by converting their corporate headquarters into a wood pellet heating facility.
What we're doing is just leading by example of showing that these things can work, because it is a big decision to want to convert some facilities to any kind of renewable energy. It is a capital expenditure. And so part of what I've been doing with this group is just showing other communities what is possible. And, you know, it's not that we are pushing one technology or another. We're just showing that all of these forms of renewable energy is new to the state of Alaska, relatively, and just showing what could work in your community if the resources are available.
The group says they're at the midpoint of creating the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan and are committed to having a draft report to the state on November 8th. It'll include a list of capital projects and recommendations for local governments. A public comment period will follow through January. A Haines artist is in Wrangell to help restore an historic tribal house and share his talents with a new generation of artists. Master carver Wayne Price will help our Southeast neighbors with a long-awaited project, which will be renovating Chief Shake's tribal house located in Wrangell. Adzine classes are already underway, and with Price's help, we'll leave behind Wrangell's next carvers. KSTK's Charlotte Duran has more from Wrangell.
With capital funding secured and grant money in motion, the Wrangell Cooperative Association is gearing up to begin the first stages of the Chief Shake's Tribal House renovation. This past week, architect Vlad Irmisu was in Wrangell to finalize timber cuts for the project and discuss the next stages of design with the WCA. WCA President John Martin says the next step is to begin training carvers for the adzine process.
This is a moment of excitement for us. We've had a series of them, and this is just another large step. But when we have carvers on the island, we have carvers in the shed, we have chips flying, then we know we're headed to the island, and that's exciting.
On August 5th, Master Carver Wayne Price from Haines will begin preparing for the adzine classes and making sure they are prepped with all the necessary tools and materials. Along with Price, fellow Master Carver Steve Brown will be conducting the classes. Students will be taught on how to make traditional adzine tools, followed by step-by-step training on how to do traditional adzine work. Martin says the ultimate goal is to develop local carvers in Wrangell.
The ultimate goal is that we can find at least two committed apprentices to work with us on Shakes Island. And the situation will have two master carvers, two intermediate carvers, and two local apprentice carvers. And we want those carvers to be working right on site with them on a regular basis and be able to receive instruction.
Adzine classes will be held Friday, August 12th through Sunday, August 14th. Martin says classes will have 6 to 8 students and additional classes will be added if needed. Classes cost $25 per student and some scholarships are available. For KSTK, I'm Charlotte Duran.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.